Alrighty, well, our subject for this hour is counseling people with divorce in their past. And as we get ready to dive into this project or this topic, let me lead us in prayer and ask for God's help. Now, Father, as we approach this very timely subject in our culture, I pray that you would give us just real wisdom together, help each of us to do our best. I pray you'd help me to teach in a way that's clear, precise. Pray that my teaching would be engaging and equipping. I pray for those that are listening that you'd help them to put from their minds things that might distract them, help them to consider carefully these principles and maybe even how they relate to themselves personally or others that are dear friends or family members. And I pray that all of us would be better equipped to serve you in the private ministry of the word as a result of our thinking about these things together. In our Savior's name, I pray. Amen. All right, our subject is counseling people with divorce in their past. A couple of clarifications. This session is not about whether or not there are biblical grounds for divorce. This session is not about whether or not divorced individuals can be biblically remarried. This session is not about in what ways, if any, people with divorce in their past can serve in church leadership. We're not going to talk about any of those. The subject is, how do we counsel people who, as we get to know them, we discover they have a divorce in their past? My observation is that when a person has divorce in their past, regardless of the circumstances, the difficulties that lead up to a divorce and the consequences afterwards, at the minimum we can say, it does something to you. I mean, it does something to you, regardless of all the details or the circumstances. And for me, as a former pastor and as a counselor, I seldom get to vote on whether or not somebody's going to pursue a divorce. What happens far more often is I have people sitting in front of me, and as I get to know them, I find out they have a divorce or multiple divorces in their past. One of the main focuses of my life and ministry during this season of life is supervising people that are pursuing certification with the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And I devote Tuesdays and Wednesdays to that almost exclusively, and sometimes Thursdays. And as part of that, I read the case reports of the individuals that I'm supervising, and we talk about the cases they're working with. And as I read the case reports, I'm just struck by how many people my supervisees are working with who have multiple divorces in their past. I'm working with one case right now where an individual is working with a couple. She's on her sixth marriage. I'm working with another person where at age 30, she's on her third marriage. So we live in a culture where divorce is just pandemic. And if you do much counseling at all, you're going to find people sitting across from you who, as you get to know them, they're going to have a divorce in their past. So that's what this is about. If you accept my premise that regardless of the circumstances, divorce and what leads up to it and the consequences afterwards does something to you, if you accept that basic premise, then what we're talking about should be of interest to you. So if you'll look at your notes and the opening statements. The painful circumstances leading to or recovering from a divorce will frequently prompt individuals to seek counseling. A biblical counselor would be wise to explore the following areas as he gets to know the individual pursuing help. Learning about these subjects will help determine the most beneficial counseling agenda in which to minister the hope, and direction that Christ and his word provide. So the first area I think you ought to approach is the past. And when it comes to thinking, asking some questions about the person's past, I have found it beneficial to probe in four key areas. First of all, I want to ask about unresolved guilt. And in my counseling experience, if there's unresolved guilt, it's probably going to be in one of these four areas. First would be personal failures that contributed to the divorce. And you'll hear, if you ask about that, do you have, looking back about your circumstances that led up to the divorce, do you have any lingering guilt over your part leading up to or contributing to it? And you'll hear people say sometimes, yes, I do. And I say, well, tell me about it. I was too critical. I told my wife two different times I would break free from a pornography, and I didn't. I had an illicit relationship. I committed adultery. I did X, Y, and Z. And so they will admit guilt, but they've never dealt with it. Well, good news, as biblical counselors, we can help people with guilt. And you can just even make a statement in your dad again, say, a little later, I can help you with that problem, because the Bible's got an answer for guilt. Sometimes people will say, if it's not personal failures, they will say, I feel guilty about the way I talked to or I talked about my mate. When people are going through a divorce and the circumstances lead up to it, it is really easy, I think, to slander your mate or former mate, to family members, to friends, to other people, to gossip. And some people later, as they look back, they just say, you know, I was a claimed to be a Christian during that time, but my mouth sure didn't reflect biblical principles. Another one that's interesting is the distribution of assets. I mentioned that one because of one case that I still remember. A lady was coming in and was in a relationship, wanted some help making this next relationship work. And so as I was probing about her past divorce, I asked the question, do you have unresolved guilt or personal guilt about it? And she says, yeah, I said, my husband said, I'm glad right now that I'm divorced from him. But I did not treat him fairly in the divorce proceeding. I said, well, tell me about that. And she said, well, I had a sister who had gone through a divorce a couple years before my marriage started dissolving. And my sister, who I'm very close to, told me, you look around, you ask questions, you find the best divorce attorney in your area, and you hire him regardless of the cost at this point. And she says, and you instruct him that he should do his very best to see that you're protected financially after the divorce. And my counselee tells me, when we went to court, it's like my attorney plays for the NBA and my husband's attorney was on the JV team. And she says, quite frankly, we took him to the cleaners. And I was really angry with my husband, but he didn't do everything wrong, and he deserved to be treated better in the distribution of our assets than we treated him. And so you may want to ask, in the distribution of the assets, are you guilty about that? And then here's one that's maybe the most common. People will look back, and they're guilty about the way they've acted in front of their children, the in-laws, friends. And they look back and say, you know, I did not provide a godly example to my children about how to handle disappointment and heartbreak. In fact, I want my kids to do the opposite of what I did. And they're riddled with guilt about that. So ask about the past. And then I like to ask also, point B, about the impact of the divorce on his or her spiritual life and disciplines. How did the heartache and all the circumstances that led up to the divorce and afterwards, how did that impact you spiritually? And I've heard all kinds of stories. People tell me it was the hardest time of my life. I mean, the pain of it drove me to God and his word, and my spiritual life really just took off, and hardest time of my life, and in many ways it was the best time of my life because of how I grew spiritually. And I've heard other people say, I got so disillusioned with God, and where is God when I need him, when my life's falling apart, and should I turn away from God and the word and quit attending church for a period of time? But you ought to know, how did they respond to that heartache? A third area I have found fruitful to inquire about is the children's response to the divorce. And more specifically, to you, how did the children respond to the former spouse? What's the children's response to the grandparents, church, school, and so forth? My observation is that the mothers seem to be far more affected